Workplace politics can be tough to navigate. Just ask commentator Hollis Gillespie. She's had a lot of experience giving out advice in that area.
My friend is sleeping with her boss, which I think is a really bad business move. She won't listen to me, though, because she believes she's climbing the corporate ladder. Are you insane? I ask her. If you don't wise up, you are so canned, I warn her. But as I said, she is not listening to me. She's got that infuriating, faraway look in her eyes. She thinks she is securing her future. She thinks she's distinguishing herself from the rest of the turd pellets in the pile. When little does she know her shelf life is already eroding. I figure she has a few weeks before her boss dumps her like a load of toxic waste, because he's a guy. And what guy wants to hang out 40 hours a week with somebody they're sleeping with? Canned, I reiterate to my friend, like a truckload of tuna. I speak from experience, but not my own. When I was waiting tables in college, my boss took me aside and informed me the restaurant was firing half the staff. But I could ensure my position if I partook in acrobatic sex with him on the table in the break room right then. Let me get this straight, I said. If I lay you, I get to keep my job. I didn't screw him and he didn't fire me, but he did can the poor cocktail waitress who was sleeping with him. Her name was Becky, and she wore chunky-heeled shoes when stilettos were in style. I remember she served us all after work one night when my coworkers and I were sousing ourselves at the bar, everybody young and grandstanding about their ambitions, me especially because I'd just been accepted to a program to study literature at a university in Oxford, England, and I had plans for myself. I'm climbing out of this tar pit, people, I laughed, clinking cocktails in celebration with my waitstaff friends, each with big dreams of their own, even Becky. I remember she was widely despised for sleeping with the boss, who was absent that night, but she weathered the sneers anyway. She was my age and had a 6-year-old daughter who lived far away with relatives. I want to open my own place, Becky joined in, have my own business. We toasted to her dream, but almost broke our eyeballs, rolling them at each other afterwards. Have my own business, we mimicked the minute she turned her back to fetch another round. It didn't occur to me then that she probably had that dream because it precluded her from having to sleep with the boss to climb ahead. A few days later, Becky got fired. And I saw her afterward in the parking lot, sitting in her relic of a Celica, her forehead resting on her steering wheel as she sobbed. I was watching her from the window of the restaurant, like the rest of the floor staff on duty that day. We all stood there, none of us having ever really needed a job before, none of us with a 6-year-old girl we were trying to become worthy enough to raise, none of us trapped in a mess we thought we could climb out of by sleeping with the boss. We all stood there, watching Becky cry, and none of us went to her.
Hollis Gillespie is a flight attendant and writer who lives in Atlanta.